So Jesus, the creator of everything, has come into his creation. And if we imagine God Almighty and the world around us that we cannot see, yet is very real, and from it, all that is in it, the angels, all of this is are created by God, by Jesus. And in order to save us, in order that we might come to know him while still in the flesh, he himself becomes flesh. And when he does, he immediately has threats to his life. Like us, he becomes vulnerable. We see this already at the very beginning of his life. Somebody's already threatened by Jesus, by the thought of what he is or what he could be, and upsetting the status quo a little bit. So it's interesting to look at this gospel. We see who it is that first come to acknowledge who Jesus is. Who does God inform? We have the shepherds from Christmas last week. They're the lowest caste, and their testimony would not be valid in court because of their status. Yet Christ himself, not only does he reveal himself to shepherds, but he calls himself the good shepherd when he grows up. So he really identifies with this particular group of people. Then we have the Gentiles, and they're not even Jewish. They don't have the scriptures. They don't have the knowledge of God. But God is speaking to them also in different ways, not as perfectly as with the Jewish nation, but enough that they using their own language, Jesus or God has guided them to Jesus Christ. And so they, after a long journey and many stops, they come and they see him. We later see this same phenomenon when Mary Magdalene comes to the tomb. Being a woman at that time, she also was not, her testimony would not be valid in a court of law there. But this is who Jesus picks for his first witness, to go and tell the apostles. There's a pattern to all of this, that we find God in poverty, in humility. He is not where we think he ought to be or our preconceived ideas. God is always a surprise. But if we've come to him in need, we're true seekers of God, we will find him. We find that when the Magi start out, we don't know quite where they're from. They were astrologers, they might have been kings, but one thing is for sure, they're diplomats. And wherever they go, they're causing a stir because of who they're seeking. There were rumors of a Messiah going through Judaism at that time. So people were ready for this. And they're surprised at the arrival of Gentiles that know more than they do. They're following a star. They begin not knowing exactly what they're going to find at the end of their journey. And at some point, like all of us, we're all seekers. I believe this gospel is really about life. When we look at it at its deeper level, we are all magi in search of Christ. Everyone on earth, whether they know it or not, are searching for their creator. There's nothing on earth. If I owned the whole earth, if I had 1,000 lifetimes to explore everything in the universe, it would not be enough, because inside of us, God made us in his image. We are, in essence, though not eternal in our being, we are in search of that which is not of this world. That's what people search at Christmas for, things, and we don't find what we're looking for. We never can. And so we're all in search of something. And the Magi, they get only so far, and then they have to ask directions. And this is very much how God operates. If I have an experience of God, I'm going to have to find somebody eventually that's been there. The first image in the book of Isaiah, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light, but a thick cloud covers the people. Sounds like they came from Oregon, doesn't it? And the thick clouds is what we can't see because we're still on earth. Only faith can pierce the clouds. Jesus goes on the clouds of heaven, and he pierces the clouds. And with faith, Jesus, who has been there, we listen to him through the church and through the scriptures, and we can see through the veil of the world that's very real and where we will live forever. So this light that people have seen, they go and they ask directions, and it's very interesting because the chief priests, the scribes of the people, they know where the Messiah is supposed to be born. They get in a big tough tizzy about this thing. You know, they're all buzzing about who could this be, and blah, but you don't see them going out to search for Jesus. They're busy with their books. They're interested in the scholarship of this, but they're not going with the wise men to seek. Maybe they don't feel it's real. They haven't been inspired by God, but these scholars are not seekers. They're not going to find him. It's the Gentiles that keep going. They have the motivation, and they keep going. When a person enters, wants to come to into the church, they go through the RCIA. They get taught by God, and God speaks to the church to us and through the scriptures. But we need help to see God. We can't see him fully as he is without revelation. They get this advice, and then as soon as they start out again, immediately there's the star, and they're filled with joy now because they've made a sacrifice. They've made a commitment, and now God is revealing himself to them. There's an interesting quote by C.S. Lewis that I like to remember. He says that sometimes we begin a journey, and by that first step, all things are made possible without which nothing would have happened. A railhead, a bridgeway, is begun, after which untold riches come our way because we took that first step in faith. And this is what they do. They continue going. After they take that first step, then here comes the light. See, but they were required to take that first step. You know, if we didn't take a first step, we wouldn't have built a church. The light comes as you move. It doesn't, we don't get it all at once. There's no grace and no glory in that. It's just a metaphor for life. And so as they approach the Magi, now here we have what we do in church. They come and they find the Holy Family. Notice they're no longer in a cave. They go to the house where they're living. They have moved. They didn't stay in the cave. We tend to keep them in the manger for the whole time of Christmas, but they moved to a home. Mary had her privacy. They found a place to live. I'm sure it was very humble. What did the Magi expect to see? We don't know, but they are invited into the home of Mary, Joseph, and Jesus. So likewise, when we find Jesus, he invites us into his family, not just himself, but his whole family. We are part of their family. We become in communion with them, and we are the extended family right here. So we're part of the family of God, and they come in and they do him worship. They do homage to a king. This is a symbol of worship. They prostrate themselves. What an amazing scene. We don't see the chief priest doing this, but the Magi and the shepherds do this. Then they give him gifts. These gifts are very, very symbolic, of course, and they represent things that God wishes from us. It sounds a little trite, but you wonder, what do you give God who has everything? Do you have any relatives that have everything? What do you buy for your grandmother who's trying to get rid of things? Well, you ask your grandmother what she wants. What she probably wants is stamps or something, you know, something really boring. But what we give them is things from the heart, don't we? We give because we want to say, I love you, and this is a way to do this. So God, who has everything, is in need of nothing. Why does he want a gift from me? Because he wants me to show up me he, that him that we love him. And gift of gold, something precious to me. He's going to ask something precious because that's part of our test on earth. Part of it is tithing. You know, what do I give to my church and to God and everyone else? My time, my money, my prayer. We look at that. It is a symbol, not the amount, but am I thinking about it? This is part of our faith journey in life. What is precious to me? My time with my family. How I pray. Whatever's precious. Sometimes it's a sin I don't want to get rid of. But if I do, untold riches will come in the future. Without that, that person will not exist. So God waits for that first step. Will I take that first step? Will I give him the gold? A piece of gold, one penny, is what he asks, or 10 pennies, but he'll multiply that, whatever it is. Frankincense, I got used to using incense in this new church. The old one, we could never use it because the inversion layer lasted all week in there. And I always use incense at a funeral, and I always tell them, so they don't think it's some kind of magic ritual that we're using, non-Catholics, that it comes from Revelation, the prayers of God's people soaring aloft before his throne in heaven from earth. How do I pray? Do I make time for prayer depending on my state in life? Some of us have more time than others. But if I'm not praying, I'm not offering God that frankincense. Is my life a prayer? You know, this more and more, our lives should be a prayer. Not praying always in the sense of being always in church, but I come to church to pray. I go to the Blessed Sacrament Chapel or I pray at home. But when I'm outside, can I pray while I'm going about my business by the way I live? And then myrrh is an odd thing to give a baby, a symbol of his death, but it's not odd because when I'm doing a baptism in the back of the church or sometimes in the front here, all the symbols of their burial are present. It's very interesting. The minute you're born and baptized, the clock is ticking. And this is true for Jesus. He was given 33 years on earth, and that was it. I have a limited span here. What is my life about? The new year has come. Am I seeking God? If not, I'm seeking something else. Maybe I'm seeking myself. But that leads to ruin. Christ said it. This purification process, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, we are all the magi coming to God. Finally, the story ends that they discover Herod's true intentions and cannot go home the way they came. They took the long way home. Jesus, once we have encountered God, Jesus, we cannot and are never the same again. We're not going to take the same road that we had before we found God. It's going to be a new road filled with all kinds of riches and challenges. The Magi speak to us not just at Epiphany, but all the year. We pray that we too will be wise kings, wise men and women that know for whom we're searching. At the end of our lives, we will find Jesus waiting for us, and in our hands, in his hands, hopefully, will be the gold, the frankincense, and the myrrh, our self-sacrifices, our dying to ourselves, which we offered to God in our lives.